John 14, let's read verse 15 one more time. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I'm about to tell us something. And as I was writing this, I thought about your faces. And I thought about how blessed we are to know this. But I hope that we enter into it like it's the first time we've ever heard it. I'm about to tell us something. But before I do, I want us to know that this is the most important thing we will ever hear in this lifetime. This is the most important thing. I don't care what we've heard before, we can cut it off right now. Put that aside for a minute. It does not matter what we're going to hear after this. This is the most important thing that our ears will ever hear in this lifetime. This will make the difference when we go stand before God. Now, I'm going to set it up, and then I'm going to tell you what it is, okay? Men and women who are in religion, and you know that when I say religion, I mean false religion. The Scripture is always talking about the Jews' religion. And by God's grace, we're not in religion. We're in Christ. By God's grace, we're just not in religion. But men and women who are in religion believe I'm okay and you're okay. I go to church and you go to church. And we may not agree on every little piece of doctrine. We may not agree on all those things. And the reason people don't agree is because they're not looking into the Word of God. If we would all look into the Word of God, we would all be in agreement. But they say, at least we can agree to disagree. We can find some common ground. We're not going to part ways at odds. So I'm okay and you're okay. Well, we are not all okay. We're not all okay. And great multitudes of people are going to meet God right now, every day. They're dying. They're having car on purposes. All kinds of things are happening, and they're going up to meet God, and they're finding out right now, I was wrong. Okay? People, you know, we know based on Scripture, multitudes of people are wrong. They don't know it. But they're going to meet God. He's calling them home. Tonight, your soul is required of you. And as soon as they get there, they're realizing, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong on the fall. I was wrong on what happened to man in the garden. I was wrong on it all. Absolutely wrong. And then, the judgment. They find out, I was wrong. And then, the judgment. Oh, can you imagine? Man, tons of people are enduring that right now. No matter what any man tells us, starting with me, I don't care what I say. No matter what any man tells us, none of us can afford to be wrong. We cannot afford to be wrong. Now, our Lord told those who were in religion, He said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. That's the problem. Not knowing the Scriptures. Now, here is what I want to tell us that is the most important thing we will ever hear in this lifetime. Where men and women go wrong. This is where men and women go wrong. Every religion, every denomination, where men and women go wrong is They believe that their obeying God's law has something to do with their salvation. Where they go wrong is they believe that their obedience to God's law. Now, let me ask you this. Do we obey God's law? All right, now here's where men and women go wrong. They believe that their obedience, we have these laws in here. We have these commandments in here. They're on every page. They're on every page. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments, but that's just 10. All right, now, they believe that their obedience to God's law has something to do with their salvation. It does not. That's a shocker, even to a person who knows that, even to a believer, to really hear it that clear. It's like, whoa, it does not. It just doesn't. Our obedience to God's law has nothing to do with our salvation. Christ is our salvation. Right? The Lord put Jonah in the belly of a whale. And after that whale vomited him up, after it was all said and done, this is what Jonah said. Salvation is of the Lord. He did not say, salvation is of the law. He didn't say that. Now, why did our Lord keep healing people on the Sabbath day? Why did he do that? How many times do we have in Scripture that he did it on the Sabbath day? And the Pharisees, they got so mad at him. You can't do that. You can't heal a man's withered hand on the Sabbath day. It's against the law. And they were right. Your disciples can't pluck ears of corn on the Sabbath day. It's against the law. Go with me over to Matthew 12. That's where this is. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 says, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day. Now this is God, right? This is the Almighty, High, Heavenly God. Don't you think that he could have ordered and controlled and purposed for every bit of this to be done on Thursday? Don't you think he could have? Every bit of it. Well, it just so happened to be the Sabbath. No. He did this on purpose. He does all things on purpose. All right, so verse 1 says, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, and he's about to expose some Pharisees, that's what he's about to do. It says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read? You know what he's saying right there? You do err not knowing the Scripture. Have you not read what David did when he was anhungered and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read He said, let me give you another one. Apparently you don't know this one either. Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? What he's saying is, they're working on the Sabbath. Now on Sunday, you know what I'm doing all day long? Working. It's not lawful. It is not lawful. Now, this Saturday was their Sabbath, and then Paul wrote in the New Testament, the first day of the week will be a Sabbath unto you. So Sunday's our Sabbath, so to speak, day of rest, sanctified, set apart for worship. I'm working on it. All right, now according to God's holiness, as soon as I step up here and open this word of God and say one word, he ought to strike me into the lowest part of hell. And all of heaven ought to say, amen, justified. Right? All right, so verse 5, he says, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, now listen to this, listen to these words. If you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. You know where those Pharisees went wrong? They thought that obeying that law, they thought that keeping that Sabbath was their salvation. That's what they thought. What they did not realize is Christ is our Sabbath. That's what he's telling them right here. Christ is our rest. We don't rest on any particular day of the week. We rest on Christ. Exodus 20 verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath. You know what that means? Remember Christ. Don't forget Christ. Remember Christ. He said, search the scriptures. Every single one of them is testifying to me. They're all talking about me. Remember Christ, that he is holy. He's perfect. He's pure. He's righteous. He is the fulfillment of the law. So just rest. Rest on the Sabbath. I hope the Lord will enable us all right now to rest on the... I'd like to rest on the Sabbath on a Wednesday. That's what I'd like to do. Right here in Matthew 12, look at verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? They ask our Lord, you tell us, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Stretch forth your hand. Do you know what he told that man? You know what he was saying to him? Be free. That's what he was telling him. Be free. I am the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're not in bondage anymore. You know why that man's hand was like that? Sin. That's why. And you're not in bondage anymore. Can you imagine his happiness? Can you imagine that? Stretch it out. Oh, free at last. Praise God Almighty. Listen to the words of this song. We sing this sometimes. Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, but Christ has redeemed us once for all. Now are we free, there's no condemnation. That's what Romans 8 verse 1 says. No condemnation in Christ. Now are we free, there's no condemnation. The Lord Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, hear his sweet call. Come and he saves us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, not that piece of wood, the Christ that hung on it. Cling to everything he accomplished while he hung there. You know what he accomplished? Freedom from the law. Cling to the cross, the burden and the bondage, and every bit of that will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. My obedience to God's holy law plays no role in my salvation. No role. Then the question is asked, why did he give it? Why did he give it? Why did God give us his law? The answer is in Romans 3. Go with me over to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Every human being that is born into this world is born under the law. Every one of us. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That's why God sent his law. That's the reason. To expose the world's guilt. To expose man's sin. If we didn't have God's law, we would never know what sinners we are against God. Never know. We would never know that we just don't stack up. We would never know. We would never know that we need mercy. We'd never cry out because we wouldn't know. We'd never know that we need Christ. Never. Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is Christ. And the law and the prophets looked at Christ and said, perfect. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, that means an atoning victim, a bloody victim, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Well, I keep the Sabbath. Really? Well, then the cross of Christ must have been of none effect. Apparently it didn't fulfill everything it was meant to accomplish. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. By the law of faith. Believe on the Lord. Man must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did you know that faith is not a work? I have never known one company to put an ad out for employees and the job title says, Believer. Never known one company. Well, we'll hire you. Okay, first day on the job. What do you want me to do? Well, all of our products are made from fiberglass. You believe that? Yeah. $100. We have clients all over the world. You believe that? Yeah. $100. It's not a work. It's not a work. It's not a work. People get confused. Well, now, if you say you got to believe, you're making it a work. It's not a work. It's not a work. Some people even get paid to listen. Psychiatrists. But belief is not a work. It's just not a work. But he says in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by this belief, by faith, without the deeds of the law. Sinners are not saved by obeying God's law for two reasons. The first one is, God said so. Do I even need to give the second one? Really? God said so. But the second reason is, it is impossible for sinners to obey God's law. It's impossible. Galatians 4:21 says, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? You not hear the law? God's law is not deed only. It's thought, it's motive. Motive. Is there anything wrong with what I'm doing? No. But your motive might not be right in it. It might be lawful. It might be helpful. You that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Well, I've never killed anybody. Our Lord said, have you ever gotten mad? Then you've broken the law. You've broken the law. I have a coffee mug. I've had it a long time. It's sentimental to me. And that's the only reason it's still on the shelf in our cabinet. It got a little crack in it. A small crack in it. And it does not, coffee does not gush out. But slowly one drip will come through and run down that mug. And it's kind of stained along that crack. And one drip will come through. So when I use it, which I don't anymore, but I'll sit it down. And if I sit it there for a minute, it'll run down and it'll start to pool up. And every time I pick it up, I got a mess. And it's dripping. And I got to clean it up. And I'll take a sip, put it down. It's a broken mug. Well, yeah, but the handle is great. There is nothing wrong with the bottom. If you look at the rest of the side, you could go all the way around the mug and it's perfect. All of this part is perfect. All of that part is perfect. Every bit of this is perfect. Cast it out. It's a broken mug. But it's just one little crack. It's a broken mug. One little place. The whole mug is no good to me. Well, we keep the Sabbath. Well, I hope you didn't drive a car over here to keep the Sabbath. I hope you didn't have any preparation involved in any of your meals. You know, our Lord, He wouldn't even let them go out and pick up manna off the ground on the Sabbath day. You know that? They couldn't even go pick it up to bring it in and put it in their mouth. Why? Why was that the law? Here's why. It was to show you don't mix law and grace. Now, I'm going to give it to you, and it's not going to spoil on the Sabbath. It's going to be preserved on the Sabbath. But you're not going to mix works with it. You're not going to go out and get it yourself. Don't you add one thing to Christ's finished work. Christ obeyed the law, everything that was written in the prophets and in the Psalms. Christ obeyed that the Scripture might be fulfilled, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. If the books were written that said that the Scripture might be fulfilled, the world couldn't contain the books. He fulfilled this law. Every dot of the I, every cross of the T, and salvation is being put in Him. That's salvation. It's hiding in Him. Christ is our salvation. Now hold your place in Romans 3 and go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3 verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Wrong on one, you broke the whole law. You broke the whole mug. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." Man, that's evident. "For the just shall live by faith," this thing that's not a work. "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." If you could obey them completely, you'd live in them, but you can't. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Christ put away the first, salvation by that law. God said, do this, you'll live. Nobody could. So Christ put away the first that he might establish the second. Salvation by grace. Salvation by grace. Salvation in Him. Salvation through Him, salvation by His blood, alone, Christ alone. All right, here's my last question on the subject, and it's back in Romans 3. Go with me back to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 31 says, "Do we then make void the law through faith?" Just because we're saved by faith, faith in Christ, just because the law has nothing to do with our salvation, it's not by the deeds of the law, does that mean we throw it out? He says right here, God forbid. We love His law. We love His law. Even though we can't keep it because we're sinners, listen to this, it's still His law. It's still what He demands. And we love Him. Growing up in my dad's house, we had rules. We had a bunch of them. He demanded that I say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You did not want to get caught saying, yeah, at our house. He demanded that I be kind. He demanded that I share. We had rules. Now, which one of those commandments did I have to obey in order to belong to Him? Which one of them did I have to obey in order to be his child? Everybody knows the answer. None of them, right? None of them. But if you don't say yes, sir, you can't have my DNA. That's how backwards religion is. I had to obey those commandments because I was his child. I used to have friends over. He didn't demand it of them. I'd hear them say, yeah, and I'd go, He did nothing. Nothing. That was not his child. But still to this day, I'm 38. I have two kids of my own. I have a wife. I live in a different state. Still to this day, I want to say yes, sir, to him. Why? Because he demands it? No, because I love him. That's the only reason. I love him. He has been nothing but good to me since day one. He has done nothing but provide for me since day one. He's still doing it. There's not a time that I see him that he doesn't slip me stuff. He's still doing it. He helps me. He teaches me. And I love him. I really love him. I respect him. I want to be just like him. I really do. I want to be just like him. He is your best friend. If you know him, he's the best friend you'll ever have in your life. He won't turn on you. I want to be just like him. That's what he asked of me, and I want to do it. That's what our text is saying tonight, back in John 14. All right, well, I'm going to close this. Let's go back to John 14. Verse 15 says, our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you want to be saved, keep my commandments. He didn't say that. Salvation's of the Lord. Christ gets all the glory for the work. Christ gets all the glory for the obedience. This thing demands obedience. God is holy. Well, Christ gets all the glory for the obedience. But he's saying, if you have seen what I have done for you, and if that causes your heart to be thankful, if you're thankful, and if that puts love in the depth of your soul for your God, if you love me, then obey my word. Does that not make total sense? Obey my law. If you love me, keep my commandments. Lord, because of Christ, we want nothing more. We don't. We don't want anything more. Do you want anything more than to obey God's word? Well, don't put me back under bondage. Oh, it's not bondage. That burden is light. We're never going to do it perfectly, not until we're in his image, right? We won't. We just will not. But our hearts want to try. They want to try. And the reason is because we love him. That's our motivation. Tonight's message is, even after all I said, tonight's message is promoting works. It's just not for salvation. It's because we love him. It's because we love him. Lord, we delight in thy law. If you love me, keep my commandments. All right, let's stand together.